1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2, the Bible says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Now, we're going to talk tonight, as we continue the series on understanding Bible doctrine, this is number 31, on the doctrine of giving, the doctrine of giving. And last week, we talked about the doctrine of the Lord's Supper, and we was able to show you from the Bible how it ought to be done and how they followed it, by the way, in the New Testament, and how it ought to be done in our day. We talked about the purpose of the Lord's Supper. We talked about who was supposed to partake of the Lord's Supper. We talked about the importance of a self-examination before observing the Lord's Supper. And we talked about the results of preparing for the Lord's Supper as we take it. Now tonight, we're going to talk about the doctrine of giving. We have to understand tonight, ultimately, all money comes from God. We have to understand that. The Bible talks about that he is the one that owns all. Somebody said he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. That's true, but he also owns the hills. The earth is the Lord's, the Bible says in Psalms, and the fullness thereof. So he owns the earth and all that is in the earth. And so all finances, all monies come from God. Now, if all monies come from God, all money comes from God, then certainly we ought to consider God when it comes to handling our finances. And since God is the creator of all, since God has all wisdom, then certainly, since he created all and he has all wisdom, then I ought to go back to the source whereby my finances came from and ask the one that has all wisdom as to how to direct my funds. Now, let's look at some things tonight. You can follow along on the outline. Statement number one, we see that the one who gave Abram, that is, or Abraham, as he was called later in the scriptures in the Old Testament, was a believer. All right, so we understand that he typified or was a picture of Old Testament believers. Matter of fact, the many Bible teachers alludes to the fact that he was the father of the believers. Now, what does that mean? That means he set a pattern for other people to follow. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 12, that we are supposed to walk in Abraham's steps. In other words, he laid down a pattern, not just for the Old Testament believers to walk in, but also for you and I to walk in. The Bible even gives a comparison over in the book of Romans chapter 4 in verse 12, where it says that we're supposed to believe like Abraham believed. In other words, our faith ought to be as strong as Abraham's faith was. Then we'll see the law of first mention. The law of first mention that you'll find in the book of Genesis, when something is first mentioned, you can follow the pattern of the law of first mention all the way through the end of the Bible. The law of first mention never changes when it's mentioned first in the Bible. There's the law of first mention, such as there's the law when it comes to sin in the book of Genesis chapter 3. And we see that because of sin, there needs to be a sacrifice in order for us to have sin forgiven and to be accepted by a holy God. Now that pattern follows all the way through, even through the Son of God, Jesus Christ, that laid down, shed his blood for the remission of sin. And so you'll see that there's the law first mentioned all the way through the Bible. Tithing in the Bible is first mentioned in the book of Genesis and in chapter 14. You'll see that that carries all the way through the Bible because it is the law of first mention. So statement number one, we see who gave. Abram gave. Abram, of course, a picture of every believer that is in the Old Testament and pictured in the New Testament. Then you'll see that Abraham gave tithes. He did not pay tithes. I've heard preachers get up, and I've heard preachers say it's time to pay. You've heard it too, perhaps. But they say it's time to pay your tithes. A believer does not pay tithes. A believer gives tithes. The Bible says that Abraham gave tithes. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 2, the Bible says, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. So he gave. He willingly gave. It was not that somebody took it. It's not that God looked upon that as somebody paying it, but he gave those tithes. The Bible talks about Levi. Levi paid tithes. There's a big difference between Levi and Abraham. But Abraham gave. Abraham is our example. Matter of fact, if you'll check your Bible out, that the tithing came into existence and was practiced 430 years before there ever was a law. And so before it became a law of the Israelites, whereby they were constrained to give, then before it ever became that law, 430 years before that, people were practicing giving the tithe. Now again, that's the law first mentioned, Genesis chapter 14. How does that come over to the New Testament? Well, in the book of Galatians chapter 3 and verse 17, listen to it as I read. The Bible says, "And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before God in Christ, the law, says, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul." The Bible says that it should make the promise of none effect. So God's saying, what was 430 years before the law, you cannot disannul it, you cannot do away with it. And if you did do away with it, then all the promises that would be connected to that would be eradicated, would be taken away. So God said it's not good to take away that. All right? Then you will see here that the law does not change the pattern for us. Listen to it. The law is our schoolmaster. Okay? When I was in elementary school, junior high school, college, I had schoolmasters. A schoolmaster was somebody that taught me the ropes, whether it was a schoolmaster I had in English, whether it was the schoolmaster I had in math, whether it was a schoolmaster I had in a foreign language, whatever it was. Whatever that schoolmaster was, they were an expert in their field, and they taught me about that particular subject matter. Okay? Now, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that the law is a schoolmaster. It's there to teach us. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 24, "Wherefore it says the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith." All right, so the schoolmaster teaches an individual how to be right before God, justified, just as though you never sinned, made right before a holy God, and the law teaches me how that can be done. All right? Then we'll see that the children of Abraham are also the heirs of God. All right, now wait a minute. Watch the connection. The Bible says in the book of Galatians chapter 3 and in verse 7, the Bible says, "Know ye," listen to it, "therefore, that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham." All right? So there's a connection between Abraham and God showing us in the Bible. There's a connection between Abraham and the believer. All right, we are heirs together, which means what? Which means the same promises that God gave Abraham for being obedient to that which is the first mention that carries all the way through the Bible is the same type of promises that God says I make available for every heir of Christ, because he's putting Abraham and an heir of Christ in the same, if you would please, when it comes to obedience and blessing. Do you see that? All right. And so here's what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 29, following the same seed thought there. The Bible says, "And if we be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs," listen to it, "according to the promise." All right. So what's he saying? He's saying, okay, as Abraham believed, as Abraham was obedient, I'm going to bless Abraham. All right. Because you are a seed unto Abraham. God says this, that every promise that I gave Abraham is also a promise to you. Somebody says, well, you don't understand, that's an Old Testament promise and it's eradicated to me because I am a person that is saved and I live in this time, and they might even use terminology such as dispensation or whatever. I'm telling you, here's what God said. God said in the New Testament about that which is in the Old Testament, as Abraham believed and as Abraham obeyed, I will bless Abraham, but because you are a joint heir through Jesus Christ, connected to the seed of Abraham, every time you do what Abraham did and you believe and you obey, God says, I have the same promise for you. All right? So the promises are the same. you cannot get away, there you go again, with the first mention. When it's firstly mentioned in the Bible, the Holy Ghost makes it very clear that it's the same teaching all the way through. So I said, the one who gave, there's Abram. Of the believer. There's Abraham. Statement number two. Abraham gave tithes. He did not pay tithes. Statement number three. To whom did he give the tithe? Well, the Bible mentions that over in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verses 1 through 21, where it talks about that he gave tithe to Melchizedek. Now, who in the world is Melchizedek? Melchizedek is a type of Christ. He was a type of Old Testament Christ, a typology, a picture, if you would please, a symbol of Christ. Now, the Bible teaches here that we're supposed to do liken unto Abraham, and Christ ought to be the head. So he was giving to the highest type of obedience. He was being obedient in the highest fashion possible. You read about Abel. Abel gave that which was an offering. And by the way, it was a gift. You never see that he was paying in order to obtain. He was giving a free will offering. And God blessed that offering. You'll see in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11 and verse 4, says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, and watch it now, that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. So it was a gift that Abraham, gave, and it was also a gift that Abel gave. All right, wait a minute. Then you'll see that giving is called something that God looked at as a form or a method of worship. You know, before there was ever a song that was sung in the Bible, people practiced giving. The first mention of a song that's found in the Bible is, by the way, Moses, really neat. Moses only wrote two songs. He only wrote two songs. You'll find a recording of one of the songs that he wrote there in the book of Exodus chapter 15 as they came through the Red Sea and they got on the other side and Abraham, if you would please, Moses wrote the song and they sang the song. Then you'll find over in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 31, another song, but he only wrote two songs. But yet, 2,500 years, there was that which was people worshiping God in the way that they gave. All right, which was very personal. How is it that we understand the amount that we're supposed to give? Well, a tithe is 1/10. It is 10% out of out of 100. Okay, so you got 10%. You got a dollar and it's 10 cents. It is 10%. It is 1/10. The tithe represents all of God's portion. Now, wait a minute, though. I want you to think about this. It represents, it is not, if you get right down to it, God owns it all. And all that does is represent God's portion. Tithing in the scriptural sense of giving puts the rich and the poor at the same level of equality. A matter of fact, if you'll look it up, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 12 through 14, it talks about the rich and it talks about the poor. And the Bible talks about how that they are equal in their giving. Now, how are they equal? They're equal by their obedience. They're equal because they give a tenth or 1/10, if you would please, of that which is the whole. All right, and so God talks about that as being equal. All right, here's what we see. We see that the one who gave, Abraham, the believer. We see that Abraham gave tithes. He did not pay tithes. We see to whom the tithe was given. Likened unto Christ in the New Testament was Melchizedek of the Old Testament. Now let's notice the reward for giving the tithe. Now remember I said that there's the law first mentioned that travels all the way through the Bible. Remember I said that. Remember I also said this, that because we're of the seed of Abraham and through Christ we become a joint heir with Abraham by faith, then the same steps of obedience will provoke the same blessing as was in the Old Testament over into your life. All right, now watch this, if you will. You'll see the reward for giving the tithe. Statement number one, you'll see that God made certain promises to Abraham. He says this, that he'll be his shield and his buckler. In the book of Genesis, chapter 15, you'll see that it talks about Abraham's reward. And so he's going to be a shield and a buckler. And by the way, listen to me. The Bible talks about in Genesis chapter 14, verses 21 through 24, that he was going to be a greater rewarder of Abraham than the king of Sodom. So he tells Abraham, if you obey me and you step out in obedience to me, I'm going to reward you greater than any king could ever reward you. Now, by the way, that's the God of heaven. You know, you're not too excited about that, but that is the God of heaven. If I had to rely on somebody to take care of me, I would rely more on God than someone else. Okay? He said, God said, that he would take better care of you than that which is the king of Sodom. Now, by the way, that's good. That is very good. If you got a God that's willing to take care of you better than a king, you can't get better than that. You say, but I tell you, I don't have a lot of things. Well, you're breathing his air. You're walking on his soil. He's been pretty good to you. Most of you did not have to walk to church tonight. You didn't have to ride in a carriage or on the donkey or on a camel. You didn't have to find yourself a big dog and pretend it was a horse. God's been pretty, most of us ate something today. God's been pretty good to us. All right? Now wait. Here's what we see. We see that God has made certain promises to us. Philippians chapter 4, in verse 19, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, if you'll read that contextually, you'll find it in Philippians chapter 4, verses 14 through 18. He's talking there to the church at Philippi. The church at Philippi was not a big church, but the church at Philippi was a very mission-minded church. It was a very giving church. Now, what is a church? The church is made up of born-again, baptized believers, human beings that are in the church. So he's not talking about blessing a wall. He's not talking about blessing a roof. He's talking about blessing the individuals that's in that church. And here's what he says. He says, because they gave, and if you'll read it contextually, they gave sacrificially to be able to meet the needs of Paul as Paul was in his missionary journey. And as they did that, they gave sacrificially above the tithe to be able to meet his needs. And God said, because you did that, I'm looking down from heaven. And God says, he said, my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches. That doesn't run out. It says, in glory by Christ Jesus. But I want you to notice something else. Watch this. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. Let's notice some more promises from God. Bible says, and this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, but he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. All right, so God says that there's the law of sowing and reaping. So the more you sow, the more you reap. The more you sow, now wait a minute, we got to understand who's watching us sow. We understand what gets God's attention. A reason with me. Here's what Jesus did. Jesus went to the cross, shed his blood, and died. Is that right? Went to the tomb, rose victorious over sin, death, and the devil. Is that right? All right. Jesus sacrificed to be able to do that. So pray tell me tonight, does it get God's attention when you pass out a gospel tract? Does it get God's attention when you witness? Does it get God's attention when we run a bus? Does it get God's attention when we support missionaries? You see, he gave his only begotten son so that the world, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life, all right? So that's why he gave his son. He gave his son for this wicked world. So if you follow the protocol as to why God gave his only begotten son, and you do your part in getting out the gospel, and yes, underwriting the gospel financially, will that get God's attention? All right. And so that's why the Bible says that this church got God's attention to the point, to the place where God said, I'm going to supply the needs of the people that was involved in giving in that church. All right. Now, wait a minute. Then he gives the principle. If you sow sparingly. Oh, come on. If I had stock tonight that was worth a lot of money. And it was going to yield a great degree of interest for you, and I said, I'm going to let you in on it. You know, I mean, just you and me. Man, you might chomp at the bits because you're going to get a high degree of interest off of it. Is that right? You're not going to get a higher degree of interest when you put your finances in heaven's bank. There is no higher degree of interest. All right, show me somebody else, pray tell me tonight. Show me somebody that can make your clothes last for 40 years without tearing. I'd like to meet them, shake their hand, say howdy. Show me somebody tonight that could make your shoes grow with your foot. Show me somebody tonight that could take some fish and could take some bread and all of a sudden speak, and it multiplies to the point, to the place where it feeds 5,000 plus people. Introduce me to him, would you please? Hey, show me somebody tonight, there's a priest on, I think, Sunday morning, that could take the empty vessels and fill them. Hey, show him to me. Better yet, show me somebody that could take his hand, put it in some dirt, take the dirt, put it in the water, make a little bit of mud, put it on a man's eyes that cannot see. All of a sudden, he washes it out, and now he can say, hey, show me, introduce me to the man tonight that can take a person that has a contaminated body full of leprosy, and he goes down and he dunks himself in a dirty, dirty type of river and comes up pure. See, we're not talking about just somebody tonight. We're talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're talking about somebody that can take your life and change your life. We're talking about somebody, when you take that seed and you plant it into the ground, we're talking about somebody that says, hey, I'm watching what you're doing and I can bless you. That's who we're talking about tonight. All right, so when God says that he is looking at those that sow sparingly, and he's going to make sure they reap sparingly, but he's also going to watch those that sow bountifully, and he's going to make sure that they reap bountifully. I want in on that, thank you. All right, now wait a minute, here's what the Bible says. Book of Malachi, chapter 3. Remember, the same blessing is on those that would be on Abraham. Book of Malachi, chapter 3, verse 10, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse. And by the way, if you do a Bible study on that, it went from a temple, a tabernacle, to the apostles' feet, to that which is the local church. All right, now wait a minute. So bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat, it says, in mine house, and prove me. Have you ever had somebody do that? Doesn't that kind of irritate you a little bit? Somebody come up and say, prove it. Don't think you can, just prove it. Now, there's something inside of Wells that just kind of, when somebody says, I don't think you can do, when I first started going to Asia many years ago, they said, oh, it can't be done over there. You just can't. And it was just like, you know, you can't raise money for that. Well, you're not going to get, you think you're going to get thousands of pastors to come hear you. We got that tabernacle that was on site. Brother Tommy, where are you at? We got that. You remember that, don't you? We got that tabernacle. And I met with those 10 preachers. And that tabernacle set, I mean, I don't know, 1,500, 2,000. I don't know what it was. But, it was empty. I met with these 10 guys. And I was emailing them back and forth. And they said, well, you sure you want something that big? Well, yeah. Well, you know, do you think they will come? Well, yeah. Faith without works is dead. We're going to put all of our faith in God. We're going to do what Moody said. We're going to pray like everything depends on him, and we're going to work like everything depends on us. We're going to make it happen. But preacher, you know, all we pastors, 50 apiece. That's it. You know, 50 apiece. That doesn't add up to what we needed. But there is a world out there. Boy, we got over there and started chasing people. We invited the military in. I mean, they're out there. You remember that? They're out there running through that thing. Whoa, stop. You know, start talking and trying to get people in. That thing overflowed by the second night so much that we had to go over and put Jonathan, I think you was you there that week that we had to put you over in that other building over there? And we had to send all the kids out because we didn't have room for them to get them out to make more room for adults. What is that? I'll tell you. Hey, that's not a Wells. That's a God. But you step out and you obey God and God can help. All right, now wait a minute. Okay. It says, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house and prove me. God said, prove me. Now therewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. So God said, hey, come on. I can almost see him saying, hey, come on, big boy, prove me. I just prove me. Come on, big boy, prove me. And by the way, that's what God wants us to do. Wait a minute, listen to this. You'll like this one. A book of Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. Book of Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance. Substance. What do you have tonight that's substance? He said, honor him. Honor the Lord, it says, with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. I've told many people, I said, look, when God gives you a job, or God gives you a bonus at work, you know, you're getting a pay raise, but you get the bonus at work. Man, honor God with that. Honor God with that. Don't just tithe off of it, give of the first increase of that. You're going to be getting it anyway. Look, you are not going to outgive God. You can't do it. You can't do it. You know, J.C. Penney, when J.C. Penney Stores, when J.C. Penney died, he was giving 90% of his income to the Lord's work. He was a multi-millionaire giving 90% of his income to the Lord's work. Now, wait a minute. He didn't start that way, but he grew into it. He grew into it. Some of you went home tonight and said, I'm going to give. You go home and big spiritual giant you. You go home and said, sit down, mama. Kids, sit down. Because tonight, I'm letting you know God spoke to my heart. Now, I kind of doubt that. But God spoke to my heart and we're giving 90% of our income to God. Now, I'm not down that God can't bless you. And I'm not doubting that God would not bless you. But I'm telling you, in the Bible, here's what you see. People grew in their faith. They grew in their faith. You know, before Peter opened his mouth and was saying most of the right things, most of the time he opened his mouth prior to that and said a lot of things that wasn't right. Amen. By the way, hopefully you're more spiritual today than you was 5 years ago. Hopefully. Hopefully you have more of a desire to be in church, read the Bible, tell people about Christ today than you were 5 years ago. Hopefully. All right, there's that growing in grace thing. All right, wait a minute. Here we go. Proverbs chapter 9. Honor, it says, the Lord with thy substance, with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be, watch it, filled with plenty. And it says, thy presses shall burst out with new wine. All right, so God said, look, he said, if you just honor me with the first things, he said, then I'm going to bless you. All right, now watch this. I've got to hurry. All right, statement number one, I said, there's the one who gave, that's Abram. He's a picture of the believer, not just in the Old Testament, but the New Testament. Abraham gave tithes. He did not pay tithes. Statement number three, to whom did he give the tithe? He gave it to Melchizedek, if you will, a picture of Christ in the Old Testament. Then you'll see that there was the reward for giving the tithe. Statement number next, under the law, they gave more than the tithe. They gave more than the, I'm not going to read it for sake of time, but you can write it down. I think I've got it on your paper. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 12, verses 6 and 11. Let me just read you a list there. And these are things that the Israelites were required to give, not only the tithe, but that they were required to give. All right, example, they're required to give the burnt offering. Now, what was that? That was a daily burnt offering that was offered on the brazen altar. A daily burnt offering. Okay, wait a minute. They're required to give sacrifice offerings. They were required to give the tithe, which is 1/10 or 10% of all income. They were required to give what we call a heave offering. Now, what was that? That was at least 10% of the tithe of all the best thereof. Okay? They were required to give a vow offering. That means if they made a vow unto the Lord and they kept the vow. A free will offering. They used that many times for the tabernacle or to endorse the works of the Lord. We've done many free will offerings here. Okay? Then there was the first fruit offering, such as pictured in the life of Abel. All right. And I said, statement number one, I'm going to hurry. All right. There was one that gave. That's Abraham. He was a believer. Also a picture of the believer in the New Testament. Abraham gave. He did not pay tithes. To whom did he give? Melchizedek, type of Christ that's in the Old Testament. You'll see that there was a reward for the giver of the tithe. You'll see that under the law, the Israelites or those that gave back then gave more than the tithe. Then you're going to see that there's a penalty for not giving or being disobedient. Now watch this. Book of Malachi, chapter 3, verses 7 through 12. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that they robbed God. Now let me explain the difference between a robbing and a stealing. I hope your home tonight is not broken into when you get home and somebody stole your possessions. There's a difference between stealing something, somebody stealing something out of a car, out of a store, out of your home, than being robbed. A rob is a personal assault with intent to harm. All right? Now, here's what God says. There's a big difference here. God says that when we don't give the tithes and offerings, it is a personal assault on him. Now, nobody has ever assaulted God and really got away with it. All right? Then he tells what happens here. He says, when you try to assault me, when you try to rob me, he said, I am going to curse you with a curse. Now, it's one thing to go out soul winning and you knock on a door and somebody has a bad day and she's about 102 and she opens the door and she says, curse word. But it's another thing when the God, creator of all that is, says, now I'm going to curse you with a curse. Now, that's not talking about a curse word. That's talking about that he is going to curse your life, not bless your life, but bring ill intent upon your life. Okay, now wait a minute. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that they're going to try to have the windows open. But the only way to get the windows open, Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, read it a moment ago, bring you all the tithes in the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, prove me now therewith, saith the Lord of hosts, I'll not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. All right, so if they don't do what God says in order to invoke the blessing, the windows are shut. All right, let me show you some ways God opens a window. When you open a window at your house, you feel, hey, here of late, we don't run the air conditioner in our house. I don't know what you do, but we don't run the air conditioner. You know what we do? We open our windows. We got screens. Open. You know what happens? Boy, that cool air comes through there. Woo! Now, don't you try and sneak in my house at night and scare me to death. But that cool air is blowing through. Wow. All right? You feel freshness when the window's open. You know, if you have a window, it's kind of foggy, or you have a window that's tan, or maybe it has one of those type of films that's on it. You can't really see real clear through it. But then you open the window and you say, oh, now I see what's on the other side. Okay, example. God will show those that are right with him financially better deals. Have you ever done this? Have you ever been to a store and all of a sudden, as soon as you walked in, they said, just starting now, blue light special. It's just for you if your name is Mike. Hello. You know, I mean, that's God. That is God. I mean, who else knows Mike? I mean, you know, that's God. All right, now wait, what am I saying? I'm saying that God opens windows for you to see things that you never saw before. God does that, all right? But he does that to those that are right with him financially. All right, wait a minute, verse 11. The Bible says, I love it. I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Now, who's the devourer? That's Satan. He said, I'm not going to let Satan devour you. I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. I'm going to protect the labor that you put into this thing. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time of the field, saith the Lord of hosts. He said, I'm going to protect what you do. Wait, watch. It gets better. The Bible says, in all the nations, watch it. All the nations, the Bible says, shall call you blessed. And shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. And by the way, there was a day when we had more of God's people that were right, that other nations looked at us and said, that is a wholesome, blessed, delightsome type of land. I submit to you tonight, the reason that our nation is having financial struggles is because our nation has become materialistic and has not kept God in the proper place. The Bible says here, Bible says, and there is a Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 24. And there is that scattereth and yet increaseth. And there is that that withholdeth the more than is meet and tendeth to poverty. He says, so here's a person that's got a Bible principle. He's scattering. And God said, I'm going to increase you. Here's a person hoards it. And he says, look, I'm going to make sure you are brought down to poverty. I wish I would have brought the article. 1963, there was 12 men that met. They were the richest men in the world. They had more money between them than was in our U.S. Treasury at the time. I don't know all of their names. I remember one of them was Schwab. And some others, okay? But there was, I had the article. I wish I would have brought the article. But some of them, I remember one got out of Sing Sing prison just where he could come home and die. And I watched their lives. But here's what these men did. They hoarded. They hoarded. And because they hoarded, come on, I believe the God of heaven looked down and said, well, I'm going to teach everybody a lesson since you're a bigwig through you that others can see. Oh, watch this. Let me give it to you, and I've got to close. There's blessings promised. Some of these I'm going to read again. But the windows of heaven open. I'm not going to read that one again. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. God said, I'm going to open the windows of heaven. God said, I won't read the scripture again because I already read it. He said, I'm going to devour, it says, I'm going to take care of the devourer for their crops and their possession. I'm going to rebuke the devourer. He said this. He said that their fruit, listen now, what we're talking about, what God will do, how God will bring blessing to those that are obedient. Open the windows of heaven. He said, I'm going to take care of the devourer. I'm going to protect their crop. He said, the fruit that shall not, if you would please, fall off the vine more quickly, prematurely, if you will, than what it should. All the nations shall call him blessed. The Bible says there will be a delightsome land. And watch this, verse 7, and I'm done. The Bible says, even from the days of your fathers are ye gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Here's what he says. I love this. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. The Bible says, but ye say, wherein shall we return? Now, there's a principle there. God says this. If a person would simply return to me and do right, then he said, no problem here. I'll return to you. It's like over in the book of James chapter 4 and verse 8, where God said, draw nigh to me. And I'll draw nigh to you. It's like over in the book of Jeremiah chapter 33 and in verse 3 where God says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. See, there's ways that God reacts to me according to my action to him. I have a message I used to preach years ago called the reactionary God. And there's a way that I can assure God's blessings. All I got to do is read the book. And God says, do this. And if I do this, here's what God says. I'll do that because you did that. I mean, you can almost tell what God's going to do. I mean, you can tell. God's not going to break his word. He's just not going to do it. Well, that's why I love that father-son relationship. That's why I love being close to him. Because I know exactly what God's going to do according to his word when he said, if you do that, I'll do this. And God said, if you do that, I'll do this. And God said, well, if you do that, I'll do this. I mean, you can almost, and don't get me wrong, but you can almost tell exactly what God's going to do because he says in his word, if you do that, I will do that. I mean, it's just really neat to be able to live a life that way, knowing how God is going to react to me when I do that. And that's exactly what he says when it comes to finances. God will bless us if we do the right thing. Perfect example, especially there in the Old Testament.